Okay, if you hear that song, it means you're listening to the Conan and Jordan Show or just randomly playing with the knobs on your radio. I am Conan O'Brien, and I am sitting here with Jordan Schlansky.
Hi.
Who has been in my employ for many, many years as an associate producer. Never quite figured out what he does for me, but we've had a lot of adventures together.
Yes.
People often ask me about you.
Oh.
People say, how's Jordan doing?
Mm.
And then they also want to know, what's the deal with that guy?
Mm.
And so you're a regular part of my life. You come up a lot. And,
that's flattering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not so flattering the way they ask it. But the point is, we're shackled together.
For better or worse. We didn't choose this life, but nevertheless, here we find ourselves.
Yes. And very well said.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy doing these shows with you. I like spending time with you, short amounts of time that are controlled. You know, you get on my nerves sometimes, and I'm told I get on your nerves.
Well, I think with any intimate relationship, there are going to be ups and downs.
We've never been intimate.
I believe we're intimate right now.
Oh, well, your definition of intimate and mine is quite different.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
We've certainly been intimate.
No,
you cannot deny that you and I have been in intimate situations.
I don't think so. There's always a camera present and a sound crew. And no, I don't think we've been in intimate situations.
It's not always. You and I are friends. We've hung out.
We are not friends.
You and I have socialized with no cameras present.
When?
Multiple times.
When?
There have been numerous occasions
when?
Where you and
Name
I have
one.
Socialized.
Name one.
I'm not here to enumerate things that should be self-evident to a man was there for these experiences. You and I are friends. Like it or not.
It doesn't work that way, Jordan. Right. You can't yell at someone, you're my friend, you're my friend.
I'm just stating a fact.
I asked you to give me...
This is not hopeful, by the way. I'd be okay if we weren't friends. Nevertheless, we are friends.
Well, I don't want to be friends with someone who doesn't care if they're my friend or not. And I'll tell you something else. I asked you to name specific times when we hung out on a social occasion that didn't involve us doing any kind of media project. You failed. You failed completely or wasn't work-related. No, you and I don't hang out. When was the last time you and I went out to the clubs and did the electric boogaloo together? That doesn't happen, you know? So I don't know what these times are you're talking about.
There are many times.
Well, why don't you cite one?
Okay, 2008, Douay Restaurant, Upper East Side. We had a nice dinner. We walked through Central Park on a hot, steamy summer night. Came across Shakespeare in the park. Watched a beautiful performance together. Went back to your apartment at the time. Spent quality time. It was very intimate. That was
2008?
Yeah. Well,
Douay Restaurant?
Do you discount 2008?
I don't remember any of this.
Whether you remember it or not, it happened.
And I walked through the park and
Upper East Side. You lived on the Upper West Side.
But did we have tickets to this Shakespeare in the Park?
No, we came. This was serendipitous. Do you understand? Some of the greatest organic moments in life are unplanned. We didn't know we'd have a magical night that night. Nevertheless, we did.
I remembered it.
Yeah,
we
started out with a wonderful dinner. Of course.
Do you remember what you had?
Yeah, of course I remember what I had. I had the Polo Scarpagliello. And
Jesus.
Yeah, and I had the tortino for dessert.
Yeah. Do you remember what I had?
I had, by the way, a Brancaia tre to drink.
Well, that usually goes away with a little
penicillin. I don't know what you had. That was your responsibility. But after that, we walked. You came up with, you're a man that loves to walk, and that's a great quality.
I love walking.
Although you have access to many transportation options, you like to walk.
We've
walked in many places.
But there was a Shakespeare in the park. Usually those are enclosed. You can't just walk.
No, we came across, it was some kind of Shakespeare production in the backstage.
And you and I stood there and we watched.
We had a moment, a magical, magical moment. And then we photographed your apartment. You did this great thing where it was late at night.
Photographing. I lived at the Majestic at the time and you photographed it. You took a nice photo of it, which I still have. I remember this now.
Yeah, it was.
By the way, this wasn't us being friends. I asked you to take. That's why we were together, was to take that photo.
Yes.
I think I paid you for that photo.
Okay.
So this was a gig. I paid you because you're a photographer to take a picture of my apartment late at night because I was going to give it to my wife framed. And you did. And we got a bite to eat first. And you turned it into this this date.
What I'm
which
saying
it wasn't.
Is,
you got paid.
We don't know when magical experiences will happen to us. We try to plan these things. We say, oh, I'm going to have a special occasion night. And you plan and then things inevitably go wrong. And then magic happens when you least expect it. That night was magic. One of many magical nights that and days that you and I have had all
you know
across
what?
The planet.
All joking around, or I think your preferred term is joshing. All joshing aside, you and I, we've had some good times together.
Uh-huh.
You do get on my nerves. I can't fake that. I do find you to be kind of absurd, inhuman in a lot of ways.
A free thinker.
What's that?
I'm a free thinker. I may not fit into the mold of the characters that we play
no,
as
no, no,
humans.
You just don't seem human to me. You're like a cigarette machine.
Yeah.
That's malfunctioning. You pull on it, you're trying to get a pack of cigarettes, and you know, some molasses comes out. You seem a little bit of the, something's wrong in your cuckoo tree, but that's neither here nor there. Mm. I have waved the magic wand of fame at your direction, and you have become a known personality. You're
yeah.
welcome.
Uh-huh.
As a result, you did an interview recently with the online entertainment publication Collider. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
It was this last week?
No, this was not last week, no. But,
so it's right here last week.
Does it really matter when, though? I mean, it was recent, right?
Was it,
I mean, I'm saying to get hung up on details like that.
Was it 2 weeks ago?
It was longer than 2 weeks ago.
Was it 3 weeks ago?
It was longer than 3 weeks ago, is a very nice young lady from Toronto. I love Canadians. I spent a lot of time in Ontario specifically, also British Columbia.
Your
and even
girlfriend
Quebec
in college was in Canada, wasn't she?
Where are you getting these incorrect facts from? No, there was no Canadian
it's
girlfriend.
It's an old thing where people would say,
no.
Do you have a girlfriend? Yeah, yeah, no. She's in Canada.
No.
And of course, that's code for she doesn't exist.
No.
So did you do an interview with Collider?
I did.
Was it approved by my people?
In what sense do you ask that question?
You're part of the Conan machine.
Yes.
And you're out talking about Conan O'Brien Must Go.
Yeah.
My show on Max, currently
right.
running. And you have the nerve
mm-hmm.
to do your own interview?
I was asked to do an interview.
Was it cleared? Was it cleared with Cruz? Was it cleared with Frank? Did you clear it with Ross? Did you clear it with Eduardo?
People that needed to know knew.
I'm one of the people that needs to know.
Yes.
I never heard a thing about this.
You and I don't have a line of dialogue for these matters. The people that needed to know knew.
Okay. I'm going to let it go.
It was discussed. Yeah, it was it was approved in all
I'm going
intent.
To I'm going to assume that it's fine.
Yes.
And I'm sorry I flew off the handle. I've been under a lot of pressure lately launching the Max.
Well, I'm sure you want people to speak freely under your employ. You have nothing to hide.
No,
you,
I don't.
Yes.
No, I want
I have thoughts about the series
would you
as
say
you
that,
do.
Would you say that to Stalin? Would you say to Stalin?
No, I have
I'm
original
sure,
thoughts.
I'm sure, Comrade Stalin, you wish people to speak freely here in the Soviet Union. No, he didn't. He wanted absolute control, which is what I want.
My point is, I have deep thoughts, okay? And I have things to say
about...
No one
with deep thoughts says I have deep thoughts.
Yes. Nevertheless, the thoughts are there, and sometimes people want me to express them. I express the thoughts, and no harm done.
How did it go, the Collider interview? Frank, how did it go?
Well, let's take a look. We have a clip here.
Oh, here we go.
You happen to be in the Argentina travelogue, and that was an episode I really loved. You've been on so many journeys with him. How has the relationship evolved from those early remotes to what we see in this episode?
I think in the early remotes, I was still approaching this aware of the fact that Conan was clearly my boss, and I was kind of, I felt an obligation to be subservient and play the role of the employee. But I guess gradually over the years, I've been able to put that aside while we're on camera and act just like I would be naturally inclined to act should someone approach me in the manner that he does. So in that sense, I think it's probably more truer to our actual relationship, as opposed to like employer employee.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're saying there's been an evolution in our relationship.
Yeah. I would hope that any relationship between human creatures or even animal creatures undergoes change over time.
Jordan, you don't have to keep qualifying it to say we're humans.
Yes.
It really does give the impression that you're new to this whole human thing.
I see.
And it puts people off.
Yes.
You know, it really does create that image that you came here about 9 years ago and were put into this shell, this form in order to observe us and then report back to the mothership.
Yeah.
Well, I thought what you said was fairly accurate.
You
realize you still are under my employ, under my aegis.
Yes.
I could crush you with my thumb if I wished. A bug that I am observing. You amuse me. I'll let you live for now, but maybe right now, ooh, squish. There you go.
Yes.
So
I mean, if such statements make you feel more powerful, I'm not going to challenge them.
They do.
Yes.
Yes.
If you needed that reinforcement, you've got it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Should we take a look at the next one?
Yeah, no, this really is good. I thought you did a good job. I thought you did a good job in there. Right. Oh, here we go.
What's one thing about the relationship with Conan in these episodes that fans might be surprised to learn that doesn't come across on camera? Because I'm sure there was more B-roll that we haven't seen as yet.
Well, the reality of the situation is, despite how it may or may not appear, speaking for myself, I love traveling with Conan. I love spending time with him. I love spending time with him in foreign environments. I do truly think that when you travel or experience any kind of new event with someone you know, it does bring you closer together. You not only experience things firsthand, but reflected in somebody else's eyes as well. I genuinely have so many warm memories of traveling to Argentina and other places with him. We would have wonderful dinners and we would talk about, you know, the food that we're eating and the local nature of that food and the culture around us. And it may surprise people to know that we really get along. And I would like to think he enjoys my company as much as I enjoy his.
Oh, wow. Well, I have one comment. First of all, you said some lovely things there. But before we get to that, you've got to change your background the next time you do a professional interview.
Yes.
Because the angle's all wrong. We're looking up look at that. That's a mess. And that looks like you've quickly made a video to try and get help.
Yes.
To try and get to the
place. I don't have the resources that you have. Do you understand this? I'm I'm a man among men.
A human.
Yes, a human man. I've got media trained in this regard. I do the best I can.
Okay. Well, look how that beam is coming out of your head.
Yes.
And it does look like you've drawn the shade so you can cut up a body. So let's move on to what you said. Right back at you, buddy. Mm. I have enjoyed our travels together. You do enrage me at times, but what I have found is as infuriating as you are in person, when we go to these exotic lands together, you're still the same person, but suddenly the quality of the food we're having is much better. And we're in, you know, we're in Buenos Aires,
right?
You know what I mean? Or we're in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And so that sort of makes it all go down a little easier. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
I prefer you in a foreign land. Preferably if I'm not with you. But I agree with you. Yes, we come across as these two people who are always at each other's throats. And I do enjoy traveling with you,
Jordan. I think it's a testament to our closeness that we can be at each other's throats and still endure.
Yes, endure and even, may I say, thrive as humans and as animals.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the Conan and Jordan Show. I'm sitting here with Jordan. Jordan, as you're well aware, the travel shows on Max have been well received. We went to four countries. You came along with me on one. And it reminded me that one of the reasons I brought you along on the Argentina episode was that you and I had traveled before.
Oh, yes.
And we had a really good time. We went to Italy together.
Sure.
Now, of all the travel shows we did before Max, I think one of my favorites was Italy, just for the sheer fun and silliness of it.
That's wonderful.
There was a lot of just kooky comedy. Do you remember going together to Italy?
No. Yeah, of course I remember going to Italy. Do you understand? That was a pivotal moment in my life. But I'll tell you something about that trip. That trip was a part of my life even before you and I went. That was a trip that I had done many times before, and that made it extra personal for me because I was able to share with a beloved companion these moments that have been so special to me.
And, beloved companion?
Yeah, you're a beloved companion. The point is I travel alone typically, and as much as I like—
You travel alone?
Yeah, I often travel alone. As much as I like the freedom that comes with traveling alone and the moments of introspection, sitting in a piazza at 2 a.m. and just watching people go by and pondering the universe.
Creep. Does your wife know that you like to travel alone?
The point is, sometimes you want to share these experiences with somebody, and I was happy to have the opportunity to share this exact experience with you.
What's your favorite thing about the trip that we took? We went to Florence. Did you like that?
Yeah.
Or Firenze, you like to call it. I bet.
Firenze. Yeah.
Well, I said Firenze.
Yeah, Firenze.
Firenze.
Yeah.
Say it again. One more
Firenze.
Time.
Firenze.
Yeah, you got it.
Firenze.
Yeah.
It's one of those, you know, some countries go by the same name in English as they do in the native country. That's one that has changed quite a bit, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Florence is Firenze. Yeah. Rome, of course, Roma. Mm-hmm. Do you have any others you'd like to... Venice, Venezia.
How about Pisa?
Yeah, Pisa is actually the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ruin your theory.
Okay. Nevertheless.
of course, Naples, Napoli.
Yeah, Napoli. Very good. Yeah, yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah.
So basically.
Condescending piece of shit.
Yeah, when you ask, I'll tell you some of my favorite moments. Okay, when you ask, I've connected with these places on a spiritual level, okay, but often alone. And I'd come back and I would talk to you about my trip, and you at least pretended to be interested at the time when
like
when
I
we'd come back from
like
hiatus. Yeah, exactly. And then to be there with you at La Loggetta or some of these Sorbillo Pizzeria, some of these exact places where I've spent so many years, was quite moving for me.
I'm glad that you were moved.
Yeah.
I wish you'd kept moving.
Okay.
But a little quip there. But we had a good time. We enjoyed many foods together.
Yes.
There's a segment where you and I are driving around in a little car and I'm playing obscene sounds on a little sound machine.
Yes.
That made me really laugh.
Yeah.
To this day, I can't see that without laughing.
That has some background to it. You would drive around by yourself listening to...
Oh, yes. Celli di Toscana. Yeah, specifically Andrea Bocelli's Celli di Toscana. And let me tell you something.
And then I thought, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we listened to what I like to listen to when I'm driving? And it was a lot of embarrassing noises from a sound effects shop.
Think about getting this car started and be very careful with your valuable Conan payload. Oh, can you stop the car for a second?
Stop it?
Yeah. Just one other thing.
Yeah.
You're a fool. You are a fool. You frame yourself as a sophisticated and academic, you know, an intellect, and you're a fool. I mean, this is like toddler humor, you know? All your training has led you to this.
So you are revered in the world of comedy, the elder statesman of late night television, Harvard educated,
Why bring up Harvard? Who gives a shit about that in the comedy world?
Okay, I'll tell you, the Harvard Lampoon, respected publication editor-in-chief of some sort.
Yeah, so, term's called president.
Yeah, for it's a freshman, I think first freshman in the history. It's
no,
okay, I'll
it's called president. Yeah, anyway, let's get off Harvard.
All right, nevertheless, I'm sorry you have a sore spot about that.
I'm not going to talk about where you went to school.
I don't know what persecution you face as a Harvard graduate.
No,
I don't know what the sensitivity is about. I don't know what the sensitivity is. I don't know if something happened to you at Harvard that you don't want to discuss. I won't bring it up again.
No.
Okay, so anyway, you're revered. Comedians look up to you. Your sophistication in the comedic world. You're a combination of the silly and the high end. And all of that background and an incredible resume brought you to a little classic Fiat Cinquecento with me playing the sounds of a human gas release.
Yeah. It's called a fart. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
You couldn't call it that.
And we were just howling. It was so funny. I mean, you weren't laughing, but I think you just didn't understand what was happening. You were just a confused robot. But it was so funny. I love that Italy episode, and I hope people check it out.
Yeah.
It's really, really a lot of fun.
It was very special to me,
You mentioned to me that Argentina wasn't your first choice.
I've been to Argentina now three times, and the first two times I went, I did kind of road trips through Patagonia, and Argentina is a wonderful country, wonderful people, wonderful culture, wonderful food. You know, there are some places that you go to and you say, I had a wonderful experience here, and this will carry me through the rest of my life, and this was great, and I really treasure it, but I don't necessarily think I'll ever have the opportunity or need to come back.
I loved it. I love Buenos Aires.
I loved it.
We had some delicious steak.
Oh, yes.
The steak there is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was really enjoying the meal, and we shot one of those meals. I think you annoyed me a lot during that meal.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I got maybe the angriest I've been on camera at you.
How familiar are you with the culture of Argentina?
Well, I know that regarding the culture of the Argentines, I'm certainly no expert. However, I will tell you that I know that the passion and intensity of tango flows through the blood of the Argentine people. It's on every street corner that we encounter.
Tango.
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 It's pronounced tango.
Tango. Last tango in Paris.
Last tango in Paris. Or more accurately, last tango in Paris.
And I'm chewing and I'm furious at the same time.
Yeah.
And you can see an anger in my eyes. You'd have to watch a movie about the devil to see that much anger in someone's eyes, you know?
Yeah, well, I have a respect for the culture, and I try to honor the people in the way they speak. And
well,
if that infuriates you, that sounds like a problem that you need to work out.
Another time you got angry, I took you to Japan.
Oh, yes.
That's the angriest I've seen you. You got very angry because you and I had a traditional meal.
Oh, kaiseki.
Please.
Yeah.
We had kaiseki and we were wearing the robes and we were kneeling at the little small table. They were bringing us the various dishes. You started to go on and on about the film Karate Kid 2.
Oh,
I
yes.
believe. And you expounded on how what made it so special is it was shot in this particular part of Japan.
Okinawa.
Yeah,
island.
And then I produced, once you had really dug your own grave thoroughly, I produced a video that I brought with me of Ralph Macchio, the star of Karate Kid.
Macchio.
But anyway, I produced a video of him telling you that no, they shot that in the United States. It was not shot in Japan.
Apparently it was shot in Hawaii.
Okay, so you, in that moment, looked like a fool.
Oh.
And I had set the trap perfectly. Mm-hmm. And you got angry. You got very angry.
Well, it's true I made a mistake. If you'd like to believe I was angry, if that increases your enjoyment of the situation.
You got really mad because you started to say, oh, I guess if I had a booker, I could book someone like Ralph Macchio. And I said Macchio. And you said, Macchio, I could get a booker. Oh, big talk show host. You were angry. You were frustrated and angry.
You could believe I'm angry if you want to believe I was angry.
Did you think he was angry?
Oh, my God. Everybody could see on camera.
Look at the footage, people.
My fascination with Japanese culture began with the Karate Kid Part 2. Now, that movie was shot and took place in Okinawa, which is the southern part of Japan. Mm-hmm. And, Daniel was staying in a ryokan, which is
Daniel?
Daniel-san, played by Ralph Macchio, which is actually the Italian way pronounced Macchio. But I believe he pronounces it Macchio, and I'll respect his decision.
So, Jordan, let's recap.
Yeah.
Your entire fascination with Japan
mm-hmm.
stems from the fact that you saw Karate Kid 2.
Yeah.
And that it was filmed in where?
Okinawa.
I have a message here for you. Please press play. And hold that out to the camera as you watch it.
Hi, Conan. It's me, Ralph Macchio. Listen, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to tell that Jordan guy that all the scenes in Karate Kid Part 2 that was supposed to be Japan were actually shot in Hawaii. Oh, and Jordan, those weren't real dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. Sayonara.
Hawaii. Thank you, Ralph Macchio. You fraud.
I understand that
you fraud. I think right now you're in shock.
Yes,
and you're
I am
try
in
and,
shock.
And you're going to try and talk yourself out of it.
No, I'm in shock.
Your childhood hero just came out of my phone
and
took a shit into your mouth.
I am shocked that you had our talent booker reach out to his publicist. You have the connections.
Yeah, I can get to Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, yes, you can.
You, sir, are a fool.
I do not know where Ralph Macchio shot the Karate
Macchio.
Kid 2. Because I'm a
it's
fool.
It's Macchio.
I am a fool
it
for not
Macchio.
Knowing where that movie was shot. It's Macchio,
Macchio.
And I can get to him if I wanted to.
It's
do you
Macchio.
Understand?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I can get to Macchio.
Listen to you. Right now, you sound like an insane stalker. We have footage of you with your eyes as wide as an owl saying, I can get to Macchio. I can get to him.
You got mad.
Okay. Well, guess what? You got mad when I took you to a very special experience in Italy, okay? Here's a real story for the people out there that they may not have heard before. This is real life listening audience, okay? We were in Florence and I wanted to do something special for you. You know why? Because I have an intimate knowledge of that city and I said, I can provide you an experience that you can't get as a tourist.
Look at how angry he is.
No. No, this is what I, this is the way I enhanced your life mm-hmm. without you even being aware of it. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I know that, yes, you can have a wonderful dinner in the city of Florence, but I knew a very special magical place outside of the city in the town of Fiesole. Okay. This is mm-hmm. shortly outside the city, mm-hmm. maybe 8 minutes outside the city. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I said, tonight, I'm going to take you and our entire crew mm-hmm. to a wonderful dinner in Fiesole. Mm-hmm. And you said, great. How close is it to Florence? And I said, it's about 8 minutes outside the city. And you said, great. Mm-hmm. So we all get in our vans mm-hmm. and we start driving outside the city to Fiesole.
I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I start, you know, I'm in the van enjoying our company. We're talking, we're having a real experience here. The night was full of opportunity. You know, this is a wonderful experience from virtually a local to a tourist like yourself. And I start getting questions about the amount of time that we were in the van.
It was more than 8 minutes.
Okay, so people start looking at their watches and say, this is taking a while. And I don't know what the rush was. I mean, we were done shooting for the day and we were off to a magical...
I'm sorry, we were all hungry. You said 8 minutes. It was not even close to 8 minutes. And the bus kept driving and driving and driving, and then we're going up a big hill, and then we're down a hill.
I was there, too, and I could vouch for this.
Okay.
Far away.
I'll accept the fact
that... You lied.
I'll accept the fact. Let's say it was longer than 8 minutes. You became infuriated by the amount of time it was
taking.
Yeah, it was taking to get there.
I don't think I became infuriated. I did not turn into the Hulk.
Yes.
My shirt didn't rip.
No.
I didn't suddenly go from, regular actor. What's his name?
Bill Bixby.
I didn't suddenly go from Bill Bixby to Lou Ferrigno. That's not what happened.
Lou Ferrigno. The GN makes like a nya sound, like gnocchi.
No, everyone says that's not how they pronounce it.
Who's they? I pronounce it Lou Ferrigno.
How do you say Hulk?
Hulk? No, Hulk.
Hulk?
Hulk is an English word.
It's actually called Hulk.
No.
Because he was Danish. What?
No. What?
Danish?
No, he's not Danish.
I'm just saying
DC
that
Comics,
you do everything you can to mispronounce things just to be
Lou
Ferrigno. An a-hole.
Bill Bixby, that guy can make me cry. I mean, that guy, the pain, the Lonely Man theme composed by Joe Harnell when he would walk off in the distance, Bill mm-hmm. Bixby, at the end of every episode. Tell me that doesn't bring tears to your eyes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Even like a guy like you that's always looking for the joke in this situation.
Nope,
when that guy
about.
Walks down the
beach,
he can't find companionship because he's cursed by this disease. He was exposed to gamma rays. He's cursed. He only wants companionship. He only
this
wants to
like
be a
you.
Free man.
Does this sound
and
like you?
Joe Harnell,
does
that
this
piano,
sound like you?
That Lonely Man theme
does this
plays.
Sound like you?
Tell me Bill Bixby. And he was like a tortured soul in real life.
It's Bixby.
No.
What do you mean he's a tortured soul in real life? How do you know
Bill Bixby, that you could see when you talk about an actor and their ability to emote, people think because he was on like a fantasy TV series, they kind of discount him. I mean, the guy was like a genius actor.
How do you know
actor.
He was tortured?
There are stories about his life. He had struggles. Nevertheless, that guy was able to communicate these touching sentiments that are unheard of in a superhero genre.
All right. Well, listen, this is neither here nor there. I didn't get that enraged, but you did lie about how long it took to get to the
restaurant. But we had a wonderful, magical dinner, I'd like to think. Yeah, remember the bicycles on the wall? This place had bicycles
on
the
wall. When we finally got there,
antique bicycles.
When we finally got there, it was nice.
Yes.
I've traveled the world with you.
Yes.
And I want to say I thank you for your companionship.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for yours.
Very good. You studied Earthlings long enough to know that that's the correct response.
Yeah, that was a normal exchange, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you practice at home with pillows? You draw faces on them?
No, I don't.
And say, well, thank you. Thank you very much. No. I do appreciate that. Oh, and good to see you as well, sir. How are you? Nice to be here.
I know how humans are expected to interact. Do you understand? I've witnessed these things. Do you understand?
What?
I spend large amounts of time
pondering. I'm sure you did. You know, when they put you as a baby into the ship and sent you hurtling towards Earth...
Right.
Because your own planet was exploding. You had a lot of time on screens to watch us and learn kind of in your own way how we interact. Uh-huh.
I know how to play this game. Do you understand?
Oh, I know
the rules.
No one suspects a thing.
I know how to bend the rules. Yes, no one suspects a thing. That's right. I know how you all interact, and I'm happy to play in your world.
Okay. Well, just an admission here.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah.
That you're not like us, but you've learned to blend.
No, I'm not. But are any of us really like us?
Yeah,
the collective,
the rest of us,
us
in this room are like us.
There's no us.
Yeah.
No, they're not. People have their inner secrets,
right,
their inner
easy.
Deviations.
Where would you like to go in the future with me? The future, Conan? Where would you like to go?
Oh, yes.
Where would you like to travel?
Yes. Well, in fact,
I've got an order for six more of these travel shows. And I'm curious, do you have any requests?
You know, I have another very special road trip that I take, and I would love to share with you again in a very intimate setting. I found this great combination. I would fly to Paris, and I'd spend a couple days in Paris. You have your steak frites, you have your wonderful wines, you can explore the city. And then I would rent a car and drive through the French countryside. I'm talking about the Loire Valley, where you stay in castles. Now, these things are actual medieval castles that are now converted into lodging and hotels. They're not like Las Vegas made to look medieval. And you'll stay in the turret of a castle. It's an incredibly romantic and ornate in these large green fields. And then
why do you want to have all these romantic experiences with me?
This is how you connect with humans.
No.
This is how you connect with humans.
Romantic is how you connect with someone who you have a romantic sexual interest in.
Why sexual?
Do you have a romantic interest?
Of course I do.
What are you talking
about? High romance. You ever hear of the romantics? You ever hear of the new romantics in music? The fact that you link romance with sex to me is very telling. It's very two-dimensional. Things are not always so cut and dry. I believe you and I have a very romantic relationship.
If I said to my wife, I'm leaving on a very romantic trip with Jordan, she would laugh.
All right.
She would laugh. She'd think that's silly.
That's not my business. The point is, the point is... Absolutely, we have a romantic relationship. You like to pretend these things away. Think you find yourself in this situation. I know you didn't plan it this way. Whether or not you acknowledge it doesn't discount the fact that it exists. Drive through the Loire Valley. We drive through Burgundy and we have local Burgundy wines. And then we drive into Switzerland through the Alps and we eat raclette and fondue.
What's raclette?
And raclette is a type of cheese that melts over a fire and you eat it.
It out of the fire?
Please. You're in the Swiss Alps. You're sitting in front of a fireplace. High romance. Driving through the mountains. And then you drive into northern Italy across the Dolomites. And maybe you end up in a town like Venice. And you may think, we've done Italy. Well, we did Tuscany and Lazio and
you mean
and
Venezia.
Campania. Yeah, Venezia. And
Venezia.
It's kind of got a flavor. It's all of its own. And I've done this trip multiple times, often alone. I would love to share that experience with
you. Why are you always alone?
Think of us galloping through the Alps.
Galloping?
Yeah, galloping through the Alps. Not on a horse, but on some kind of motorized vehicle, perhaps.
Just on foot. No, you don't get into You don't get into
I'm gallivanting. I'm sorry, I misspoke. But just picture
ridiculous.
Us just running.
You don't get into
running.
A,
remember the sound of
you
music?
You don't get into now, a Honda Accord and gallop off into the distance. Right. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, but can you envision the sentiment I'm talking about? Like, picture the
Not
sound
really.
Of music, which was shot, of course, in Germany. But picture that in the Swiss Alps, you and I just running through the snowy mountains.
No, that's
in,
I
like,
don't.
Wearing,
I don't
like flannel.
I don't picture any of that.
No, we're gallivanting.
No, I don't want to gallivant with you.
No, we're gallivanting in the Alps.
I
and
don't
then at
want
night,
to.
We're curled up in front of a fire.
What are you talking about?
We're wearing
you
we
and
got
I
a
are
blanket.
Not
we got a wolf.
Together.
Maybe
Listen.
Gestad. You ever been to Gestad?
Oh, my God. It's called Gestad.
No.
Pronounce the G.
Gestad. So what I'm saying is, and then
no,
of course,
I haven't been there. Listen to me.
And then we have risotto and polenta in northern Italy. We stay in the mountains there.
Hey, listen to me. I am not a homophobic person at all.
Yes.
Okay. You have to, and I think you know that about me.
I absolutely know
but
that.
But I reject your advances. I reject.
I'm not
them.
Advancing.
You talking about, you just said,
I'm
come
proposing.
With me to the Dolomites.
I'm making a
You're
proposition.
Proposing.
I'm proposing. I'm making a proposition.
I call it an indecent proposal.
You said you wanted to curl up with him in front of a fire.
I would like to curl up with you in front of a fire. We're not intertwined. I'm not against it. What I'm saying is,
I'm curled like a shrimp in my corner, and you're curled like a shrimp.
Let me envision this. Let me envision this. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Paint a picture.
All right. So there's a
Where
fire.
Am I? There's a fire.
There's a fireplace.
Got it.
We're on the floor.
There's
a
melted
rug.
Cheese there's on
an,
the log.
No, there's an. Yeah, there is. There's an oval rug. And
why
you're
is it
curled.
Why is it oval?
Because it'll fit both of us. It's an oval rug in
Wait,
front of the...
we have to be together on the rug?
Yeah, we're going
to
be down on the floor, and you're on the left side of the oval rug, and I'm on the right side of the oval rug. And
I, want,
we're
the right. I want the right.
We're,
I want the right.
Okay, fine. We're wearing flannel pajamas, and we've got a fondue pot, and we're roasting our bread.
What are we drinking?
Maybe apples. Oh, I'm glad you asked. You know, Switzerland has some great wines. They're very expensive. In fact, many Swiss will buy like Italian wines because
don't worry about the expense.
But
you know,
I'm
we'll,
saying,
do the,
like,
we'll put this on.
You're like concentrating on the wrong things. Our bodily positions are not necessarily important. What's important here?
To me, they are very important.
I mean,
you want us? You said we're curled up.
Yeah.
Now, to everyone in the room, that means we're together. Our bodies are touching.
Spooning. Well, not necessarily. Possibly, if we.
Oh, if they are touching, which areas are touching?
I don't care. These are, you're dwelling on the wrong things. I think
I'm dwelling on very important facts.
If our bodies should touch, I don't even necessarily notice it. It could happen accidentally. That's not my goal, nor am I trying to avoid it. The point is, here we sit in Los Angeles in an urban environment. Now picture, this is the wonder of travel. Picture us now in the Swiss Alps, curled up in front of a fire together.
Okay. I can't picture it.
Yeah.
Most I can picture is that I'm in an armchair, a leather armchair on one side of the room. You're on a leather armchair on the other side of the room.
That just seems so distant, almost like you're trying to avoid me.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, and also I want like a Japanese screen between us. And that's it.
Okay.
And then I find your description to be a little strange. That's all.
Yes. Well, I have specific tower castles that I have stayed in, and I would love to spend time in with you. And picture large fields in France, running through the fields.
Why are we running? I don't want to run through a field. If there's a gopher hole, you break your.
What I'm saying is, when you see a large expanse of green grass, okay, France is like a green country, isn't that? Doesn't seem like a green country to you? Yeah. Like, do you see colors when you like? If I say like the number, like if I say 1983, do you see yellow?
Nope.
No. If I say the 1990s, do you see red?
How long have you been experiencing these headaches?
No. What I'm saying is you don't associate color with different words or places?
Okay. I don't. I mean, yeah, if you say brown, I think of the color brown. If you say yellow, I think of the color yellow. Right. But if you say 1983, I don't think of yellow.
You don't think of yellow?
Why would you think of yellow?
1985, red. 1986, blue. 1987, green. 1988, yellow again.
Okay.
1989, red again. You don't see that?
I'm pulling the ripcord.
Okay.
I'm getting us out of here.
No, this is not a joke. This is a real thing. I see colors.
There's no way.
Frank, get this analyzed. When I see certain words or places, okay, France is a green country. I picture large green fields and you and I just running through the fields.
MRI. You need to have an MRI.
Okay.
MRI. And they need to inject dye, and then they need to do kind of imaging where they can
That's called with contrast.
Yeah. And
magnetic resonance imaging.
Yeah, then you'll see the colors. And
as opposed to computerized axial tomography, a CAT scan. Okay. Do you know laser stands for light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation? Do you know that scuba stands for self-contained underwater breathing apparatus?
Did you know that we're out of time means I'm ending this right now?
Okay.
Thank you very much, Jordan. Yeah. It's been a really great episode of the Conan and Jordan Show. Or it's been an episode of sorts. I don't know, that's a great one. What are we playing right now?
The Lonely Man theme.
Oh, this is the Lonely Man theme.
Look for the piano version by Joe. Oh, yes. Oh my gosh.
Are you okay?
It's consuming me.
This is the song they would play with Bill Bixby as Bruce Banner.
Yeah. David Banner in the TV series, Bruce Banner in the comics.
Okay.
Changed on purpose by the series creator. Yeah.
And he's walking away.
Yes.
And he's alone because if anything infuriates him, he turns into the Hulk.
He can't exist in human society.
Yeah. This is the theme that should play when you wander alone in Europe with no one to talk to. And when you rent a castle and there's a fireplace and some cheese, but I'm not there. Mm-hmm. There's no one to cuddle with. Of course, you forgot to invite your wife, who, by the way, is very beautiful and cool. But you didn't think to bring her with you on this romantic getaway because you thought maybe your podcast co-host would be there. And it's very sad. This is the song that plays. This has been the very emotional episode of the Conan and Jordan Show. We'll see you next time. Good night.
The Conan and Jordan Show with Conan O'Brien and Jordan Schlansky is produced by me, Frank Smiley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Jim McClure. Engineering and mixing by Eduardo Perez. Our supervising producer is Andrew Bruce. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. The theme song is Tom Sawyer by Rush. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan and Jordan? Call the Team Coco hotline, 669-587-2847, and leave a message. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. And be sure to subscribe and tune into Conan O'Brien Radio, channel 104 on Sirius XM.